This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
You probably have some problems where you don't know what to do, so you should write in right away to the show. If I were you, they may spout out something mean, some destructive cynicism, but I promise they mean well. It's just constructive criticism. Vince and the Pinch, or Josh and Amir, too many names to list them all here, but listen close, cause it's about to start. If I were you, the show has captured our hearts.
That was Anderson. Dan, you're a musician, professional musician. What'd you think about that theme song?
I am a professional musician, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're a concert pianist.
I'm a concert pianist. I thought that was very, very good. It reminded me of my days at Carnegie Hall.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
High praise.
I was taken back to some of my finest performances.
Where you were just like ska with an acoustic guitar in
you
Carnegie
were the
Hall.
Dancer in Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, right?
I was the lead skanker in the Boss Tones.
Yeah. There was a guy in that band that just danced.
Yeah, he would like wear a suit and he would skank.
He played no instruments, sang no songs, he would just dance.
And that was me.
You don't have to have that part. That's for the crowd.
Yeah.
You don't have that part in the band.
It was cool. It injected a lot of energy into the performance.
Yeah. They saw the way that I clutched my knee and they said, this is the guy for us.
That's like a part of a play where you just sit on the stage and you look at it. You shouldn't get paid for that. That's not part of the play. That was Anderson Reagan, who has a band, Pictures of Vernon.
And that's a good band name.
Yeah, picturesofvernon.bandcamp.com if you want to hear more. Dan G.
Hello, sir.
First time on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
How would our fans know you the most?
Your fans would know me from collegehumor.com,
mm-hmm.
where I was a writer and actor.
That's right.
Often in videos with YouTube. Mm-hmm. YouTube.
Often in videos with YouTube.
With YouTube. And I guess that's predominantly it. And
now what the fuck are you doing? You left College Humor 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Did you even get a job, man?
Jesus Christ, guys. You are very combative on this podcast.
Yeah.
The I was podcast expecting... is called Did You Even Get a Job,
yeah,
Man?
I was expecting a friendly conversation.
No.
And, yeah.
We just double team our guests.
Wow. Yeah, we didn't even catch up when you walked in. You got right to the door, we put a mic in your face and played that song for you.
Right. Yeah. You, Amir, need me in the groin.
Mm-hmm. I need you in the groin. I want you in the groin.
I am, what am I doing now? I write for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
But what else do you do? Like, that's not a job.
Aside right, from writing
not,
for
you
a show
are
on
not
HBO.
What you do. Like, if you define yourself by your career, then guess what? When you don't have that job, who are you? What are you? You're a waste of time and space, all right?
You're a motivational speaker is what you are.
Yeah.
Which is good, because I actually got fired from John Oliver 3 weeks ago. For not doing any work ever.
Yeah. I just sat in my office writing my motivational speeches, and they were like, this isn't going to cut it, Gerwich. This is not what we do here.
Of course not. Yeah. Yet.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get into that shit later, but do you know what this podcast is?
I do, yeah.
It's, well, if you don't, for anybody listening that doesn't, it's an advice
show. Not for
show.
Dan, for our other, yeah, yeah, yeah. For people listening, right?
This is an advice podcast, so we'll answer emails that we get to ifireyoushow@gmail.com. Sometimes it's just Jake and I offering our advice, and sometimes we have a friend / comedian. You're a female comedian, right?
I am. I'm a female comedian, yes.
And today's comedian happens to be Dan.
The comedian.
Dan Gerwich, I should say. Yeah.
I like to do, like, my style of comedy is, like, I'm, like, the pretty girl, but I say raunchy things.
Oh. Yeah.
Like shock.
Yeah.
Shock
it's
and
like,
awe.
I bet you've never heard a girl talk about her tampon like, this way. Like,
it's shock and awe.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. So you're sort of a modern-day Margaret Cho.
I'm actually I came before Margaret Cho.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't like it when people describe me as a modern-day Margaret Cho.
When did you start doing stand-up?
I was 7 years old, and Margaret Cho came to see me at a school function.
What function or a talent show? What kind of function?
It was a function.
It was a PTA meeting.
Yeah, it was an open mic
at Catch a Rising Star on the Upper East Side of New York City.
Yeah, I taught her everything she knows.
How old do you think the youngest stand-up comedian, like, to do well is? Like, has there been a 15-year-old stand-up comedian? Or do you have to be of
there
a
must
certain...
have been, right?
I don't know.
Like, Pete Davidson's, like, wasn't he, like, 19 when he got on SNL?
Yeah, I'm talking about, like, was there a 13-year-old, like, oh, that kid's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. I bet there's, like, an 8-year-old comedian.
Yeah, this is definitely a YouTube search that would yield results, I think.
But I don't want him to like phone it in and just like,
you don't
want to
do like cute
jokes.
Funny. You want to do like right. What's like, the youngest comedian doing crowd work?
Yeah, yeah. Who's like, holy shit, this kid's good.
Or being like really honest. Like,
yeah.
Holy shit, he's like, I'm getting to know him on stage.
Yeah.
Right now. Like, I feel like.
I don't even want to limit it to guys. Like, I want a 7-year-old girl who's fucking up there killing it, just right. Bringing the house down. Wouldn't that be funny? A funny art. Performance art is just like a comedian coaching an 8-year-old on what to say. So he's on stage saying like some pretty raunchy shit. I don't know. I shouldn't give that secret away because I'm going to do it one day. All right. So Dan, these are real emails from real people. We're going to awesome. Give them fake names to preserve their anonymity.
Sure.
It's kind of an interesting one right off the bat. We've never done
have
this
you ever,
before.
Have you ever slipped and said someone's name?
Yes.
Definitely.
Nearly every other episode. It's like, all right, let's call this guy Philip. Hey, guys, my name's John. Shit.
All right. About your weird penis, John.
So all right. Give me, I'll tell you why this is interesting, but give me a fake guy's name. Give me anything you want.
I mean, it has to be Eduardo, right?
Mm-hmm. So you have heard the show before.
Yeah.
You slipped him a tiny piece of paper that said Eduardo.
All right, here we go. Eduardo writes, mm-hmm. Hey guys, I'm in a committed relationship with my girlfriend, but I have a crush on a girl from work. Me and the girl from work flirt a little bit every day. I don't intend to actually do anything, but I do like flirting, and the girl doesn't know I'm in a relationship. There's no chance of my girlfriend finding out, as we're in a long distance. Is this all okay? And this is why I say this is kind of unique, because 3 weeks later, we got an email that's seemingly from either this girl or a girl in the borderline same exact predicament, but the other side. So I think I want to read that if you have a female name.
I mean, it's got to be Eduardette.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Eduardette wrote, this, keep in mind, these are 3 weeks apart. I started a new job in January and had to move to a new city, and so far it's been amazing. The people at work have been super lovely, particularly this one guy. He was chatty, charming, and lovely, and we both had a lot in common, and soon enough, I became smitten. However, later on, I found out he was in a relationship. Bit of a bummer, but no big deal. Always good to have friends. So he ended up inviting me to an Australia Day party with his friends since I was new in the city, and it was tons of fun. He warned me off one of his mates and chatted to me for most of the party. This friendliness continued for a while, but got a lot of got a little bit intimate with stuff like drinks after work, just the two of us, dinners, Snapchats all the time, texting each other until late, and even taking our lunch breaks together, lying on the grass near the ocean and chatting. It's even gone so far as pizza and Netflix at my house alone. This is all just friendly, and while he's with his girlfriend, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, but it is getting strange. He compliments me a lot, and I quite like hearing about it. I'm starting to get a bit of a crush on him, too, and now it's super messy, and I'm not sure what to do or say at this point. I don't want to keep this up, because I'm just as responsible as he is, and I don't want this friendship pushing the boundaries, and it sounds like it's totally not cool. So what would you do if I were you?
That's already gotten much farther than I would have thought that it would get.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, it sounds like she's like almost about to be like, yeah, it's weird. He like gave me this ring and then we like walked down this aisle and now we kind of like have a house together. And
we're married.
We're married.
It sounds like they got to the boring part of a relationship without having sex. Like pizza and Netflix is like, that's what you do when you're tired of fucking someone.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are your thoughts in general about flirting while in a relationship?
I guess... Well, are you talking about both questions?
Let's just say just as yourself. Would you flirt if you're in a relationship? Or are you the kind of guy that's like, oh, I'm in a relationship. I can't even be slightly charming to any girl.
No, I mean, I think it's okay to like have flirtatious conversations here and there. I think that once you're escalating to like one-on-one drinks and pizza and Netflix, that starts to be a little bit strange.
Right. I think there's like a difference between being a flirtatious person and, you know, flirting with a bunch of people at a party and then like... A one-on-one flirtation affair is different because you're like honing in on one person that you seem to care about.
But it's almost like, why even go down that road?
Because flirting is fun and harmless.
But
if you're at work and you're flirting with people, well, I could see how it would be a problem. But I think that's fine. As long as it's like, I just feel like as long as you're doing it liberally, it's okay.
Yeah, I think there's a difference also between like flirting that's like occasionally saying something charming and kind of playful and flirting that's like hitting on somebody.
Yeah, know? I mean,
like,
this dude told her not to go home with someone else. That's like possessive.
Yeah,
that's weird.
He's basically saying, don't hook up with that guy because I might or may not break up with my girlfriend soon, and I want you to be like
right
fresh for me.
Yeah, I think that. Well, that is a really gross way of putting it, but yeah, I think
I want you to be a salmon.
It's the worst thing I've ever.
You are sashimi.
I'd prefer you to be fresh for me.
But isn't that what he's saying?
Yeah. If you could just wrap yourself up in a vacuum pack, one of those things
he's
that
putting
you,
a ziplock.
One of those, yeah, one of those things your mom stores quilts in the attic. If you could just crawl into one of those and not move for a couple months while I figure out,
I
my
can
own
make
life.
You super super flat.
I want you to vacuum
store
seal.
You with my winter jacket.
Like a Japanese porno. I want you to just be absolutely vacuum, hermetically sealed, like a Honus Wagner baseball card.
It'd be worth as much as possible on the market when you're, yeah, no, it sounds like that's unhealthy because it sounds like he's like trying to have it both ways and keep her around while he figures out his own relationship.
But where do you draw the line? What's bad? What's cheating and what's flirting?
Oh my God, you're trying.
I guess just end the podcast because we don't
We're finally
fucking know.
Stumped.
We blew it.
This is like one of the things, why play with fire?
But this is, well,
because you're flirting at work and then eventually it'll become a work function and then you want to see the girl and then you talk to her at a party and then it's like, uh-oh, I'm getting closer and closer and closer.
Well, that's where the line is, I think. There's a couple different factors at play. One, like I said before, are you flirting with lots of people or are you flirting with one person? Because flirting is harmless. Having a crush on someone's not harmless, right?
Right.
You can flirt with people without really liking them, just having like that a flirtatious nature. But then when you like somebody, then you start like only flirting with that person. That's a problem. But also, it kind of matters what your significant other thinks about flirting.
Mm.
Because no matter what their opinion is, if it's like, if something's like really upsetting them, then you have to adjust accordingly.
Yeah, I tend to be a fairly jealous person, I think. Like, I'd like to think that I'm not, but like, there's never been a situation where I imagined anyone that I was with, like, in any sort of a flirtatious or romantic situation with somebody else and didn't immediately like get angry in my head. Like, I don't.
Had you ever experienced that firsthand? Like, you were talking to some, like, you and your lady were talking to a guy and you're like, you were just openly flirting with that guy.
No, I don't think I've watched somebody flirt. I mean, I'm sure that's like, I mean, I'm sure that it's happened in, on both sides of relationships that I've been in, but I haven't watched it happen and been like, what was that about?
Right.
Yeah. I've never really had one of those.
Hey,
moments.
We have to talk.
Yeah.
That get wasn't over here. Okay.
I noticed you having fun at this party.
That's the problem. Because flirting is so ambiguous. What does it mean? Like, if I'm talking and joking with someone, is it by definition flirting, or does it have to be slightly sexual and romantic? Like, if I'm making a girl laugh, am I flirting? Because if so, then I have to
feel like
flirt.
This is you arguing with a girlfriend right now.
Yeah, I don't.
It wasn't flirting.
So.
I was laughing. I laugh all the time.
Right. Exactly.
No, I don't think that it's just. I don't think it's automatically flirting to like be playful with somebody and make them laugh. I think that's like if you're like a charming person who likes making jokes. That's just part right. of your life.
Flirting is giving somebody that little extra attention. Because like all of us naturally just like try to make people laugh and try to talk to people. But when as soon as I hone in on someone, just one person, then it's flirting. Then it's like, I only care about making this girl laugh right here.
So you're saying if you're an equal opportunity flirter, then it doesn't matter as long as you're not doing it to just one person.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what I think.
It feels like there's, yeah, it feels like if you're like at a party or hanging out or being charming, that's sort of like general equal opportunity flirting. But if you're like at work and you send an email to a coworker that's like, hey, we should really meet up in the kitchen and have a cookie deep break or some, I don't know, just like
that's
some.
That's a good work
that's
time
like
flirt.
Very
yeah,
good work
the,
time
the
flirt.
Yeah, the snack.
If you've got snacks
break.
In the kitchen, you got
that's
it. But like,
game over.
But like scheduling a one-on-one snack break in the kitchen, that's like, that feels like you're like, I'm trying to hook up with this person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like something that has like an intention behind it that's not just being a friendly person, I think.
It's almost like every one-on-one email is kind of flirtatious because it's like, here's a little secret from me.
Yeah. There's right. never a reason really to send any one-on-one emails at work that aren't like work related.
Right.
Like if you're sending like a one or two line email to a person at work that's not has nothing to do with work.
But that's
know.
Also harmless. It just gives you that little micro burst of like
that's flirty.
Yeah,
that's
but flirt. Well this is, goes back to me saying like as long as you're spreading it liberally it's fine.
Yeah. I don't think that it's a problem in the sense that like if I like I think if I was in a relationship and I found out that, you know, my girlfriend had like sent a couple of one or two line flirty emails to a coworker.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that I would be okay with it because it's like, it's okay to find other people like sort of attractive or cute while you're in a relationship. That is just human nature.
Right.
But it's like it's a very different thing to like truly act on it in any significant way.
Right.
Like I would say that like on alone on your couch, pizza and Netflix time is like acting on it. That counts as acting on
oh,
it.
Oh yeah. Right.
That's
really
like, that's
bad.
Very uncool. And I would not like that.
Right.
But like the occasional, like you're kind of a cute guy sort of thing.
Emails,
it's like,
texts, smiles. Like it would all bother me, but just like, don't tell me. I don't want right. to know. That's like not something I need. If I'm in a relationship, it's like, if you're eating pizza and watching Netflix at someone's house, I need to know because then
yeah,
we
yeah.
break up.
Yeah.
But if you're like, if
your girlfriend can't have a time where she watches Netflix with another guy.
Well, I mean, sure, that could happen. It depends, like how it got there. If it got there because they're taking lunch breaks together,
yeah,
and then they're like going out to one-on-one dinners, uh-huh, sending each other
right.
Snapchats,
that's
and then
right.
they watch
Snapchats.
Netflix
uh-huh,
and
sure.
pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the relationship is clearly over.
All right. Let me ask you a follow-up question. Everything
what if he can
you
only
said,
come while watching yeah. Futurama and eating pepperoni?
Oh,
pizza.
I didn't think that's not fair. Oh, so yeah, oh, yeah. yeah, you got it. I understand.
Netflix and chicken fingers.
Game to Amazon Prime and fish sticks. Nah, I guess that's okay.
Yeah. Xbox Originals
and tater tachos.
One last question: egg salad and Hulu. Let me finish. Not plus regular. So they're
if
watching
any,
more.
Oh,
ads.
This dude's a broke ass joke. Then. They could do that all day.
If any girlfriend of mine ate egg salad at any point, I would dump them for any reason.
Flirting's okay, egg salad's not.
No.
Egg salad really is ridiculous. It's just eggs
yeah,
mashed
up. If you found
up,
out your girlfriend
right?
went
it's
out to
disgusting.
Lunch on, with like a guy at work and they ate by the ocean and laid on the grass, you'd be jealous. And then if you found out they both had egg salad with chopped up onions in it, you'd be
yeah,
like, oh.
You know what? He can have you.
Your breath you're probably gonna... still smells.
Yeah. Of I think if this... I fell in love with a girl over the course of a year and we spent nights lying together, talking and telling each other things we'd never told anybody, and I felt closer to her than I'd ever felt to anybody.
Mm-mm.
And then I just like walked in and I saw her just drinking a full glass of whole milk. I'm never gonna talk to that girl again.
That's right.
Disgusting.
You know how much you hate milk?
I just hate the idea of just drinking a glass of whole milk.
What if it was 2%?
Oh, we're going to have a serious talk. I'd probably still leave her. I think there's
we'd have an open relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's skim. It has to be skim.
Just like a bowl of egg salad and a glass of milk. It's like, you know what? Nothing we've shared is worth this. You're a monster.
That is, it's a lot of people still drink. I can't get behind that. I never had milk growing up, but yeah, don't you know people that still just like, I will eat a sandwich, glass of whole milk. So foul.
I had a girlfriend in high school who didn't like juice of any kind, but drank milk out of drank glasses of milk. And it was like, I think I've always been ruined by it because I thought it was so gross. I could never get past
Dave Rosenberg still, I think to this day, loves milk. Remember he did this diet where he drank a gallon of milk a day.
Oh,
and
the go mad diet. Gallon of milk a day.
Oh, please.
That's not a ring. That's an endorsement against milk, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was absolutely. He looked sick. He looked he's already kind of pale, but he looked like milk.
What?
Like
he became Harvey Milk.
He wore it. He wore the milk. It was so big in his stomach.
He would cough and
it was on his
curves.
Face. And I would come home and he would have like a quarter of the milk left. And I would look at him and I'd be like, how's it going? And he would just like, he looked like he was going to cry.
He would have to open his mouth like a milk carton. Like you have to squeeze it in.
Milky so tears out of his thin foam of cream around his skin.
He became milk.
What? Wait, was there? What's the? Why would anyone think that's a good idea?
He wanted to pack on mass. He wanted to gain a lot of weight because he was trying to bulk up.
All right.
He bulked up, but it was all in his stomach.
Yeah, that's not good.
He had cream weight. He had 40 pounds of cream in his belly.
He was also doing no exercise because the milk made him so sick
and lethargic. He was weighed down by the dairy and the lactose. I think a lot of things Dave does, you can ask with, wait, why would anyone think that's a good idea?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like, I would say in any nutrition book, there's probably like a little addendum that's like, also, by the way, don't become milk. Whatever you do, it's not a good idea. It might sound like a good idea to you, but don't become milk.
Yeah, it's like a warning. If you, it's on the milk label. Too much consumption will make you milk.
That's where this carton came from.
Enjoy, but do not become.
Somebody else became it. So roughly speaking, what would you do if you were, this girl says, what would you do if I were you? If you were this girl, would you not? Where would you cut it off? Or would you cut it off? If you were flirting with a girl and she had a boyfriend and you didn't, would you cut it off?
Where
do you stand on meddling?
The first girl I was ever in love with was in a relationship when I met her,
mm-hmm.
and they broke up, and she ended up dating me. So I'm not the moral, you know.
But if you guys ended up getting married, that's like a lovely story, and nobody would actually be offended by the fact that you meddled.
Yeah, I think that like if I mean I don't, yeah, I like. It's hard to say like how flirtatious these nights that they've been spending together have become, but
Netflix and pizza is like,
it's
a 9 out of 10. It sounds like,
yeah, I would say at a certain point it's worth bringing it up and saying like, or at least trying to feel out where his relationship's going, you know,
like saying, I can't keep doing this if you're still doing that.
Right. She also said something that was like a red flag to me. She was like, I'm just as responsible as he is. And that's not true. If you're in a relationship, you are the most responsible. Like, this girl doesn't have to be responsible for this dude's relationship, right? I'm not asking you. That's just a fact.
I do think that there's more of a moral weight on the person in the relationship in these situations.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I'm not saying that this girl is completely absolved and you can meddle all you want.
Right.
But I will say that, like, this guy's being the primo asshole.
Yes.
And this girl's being a mini asshole for enabling it. So I think if she wants to, like, the best thing she can do is say, hey, I enjoy spending this time with you, but like, you're in a relationship, so we can't do this kind of thing.
Right. I think that that's the best thing to do, because once you give him an ultimatum like that, then he has to like sack up and figure out his relationship.
Right.
Because what he's doing right now is he's just having the best of both worlds. He's like getting the emotional fulfillment from this girl,
mm-hmm.
but not having to make a decision, because breaking up people sucks.
Right.
No one wants to do it.
Right.
So like, what he has to do is he has to like realize that he can't have both at once, and have to actually make a decision about which one he prefers.
It seems like if he's gotten this far, he shouldn't stay with his girlfriend.
Definitely not.
No. Yeah, I think that if you get to this point, you think something's wrong.
Right. Yeah. You're not getting it from where you should be getting it.
Yeah, I've always felt that way. Like if you're in something and you like legitimately feel like hanging out with somebody else or flirting with somebody else or like in a way that's like serious, you know,
right.
Then that means that something's not right.
So is it game over? Wouldn't that be the easiest solution is just like, oh, guy breaks up with girl and then they can go out guilt-free.
Yeah, that's the move.
I think that she has to let him know that he can't have both, I think. And then it's up to him to decide which one he actually wants to pursue.
That's good. Maybe she should ask him like in a really sexy way, like she straddles him and be like, do you want this or do you want your fucking girlfriend or something like that? So like put him in a situation where he almost feels too bad to choose the alternative.
Sure.
That way. Sure.
We all disagree. We're going to let you keep on digging yourself
into
this hole.
Yeah, I want to know where you're going with this.
Yeah, and then she starts undoing her blouse and she's like, do you want to touch me or do you want to touch her?
Right.
His girlfriend's, it's a long distance relationship. He can't touch her.
He can't do it.
Yeah, he can't.
Yeah, she wins that battle every time.
Just an idea for the girl.
Yeah. That's the sexiest way to come on to somebody. I'm better than nothing, aren't I?
Yeah.
It's either this or not or nothing.
This or someone far away.
Yeah.
Do you do LDRs, long distance stuff? Are you into that?
Good idea. I have done it.
You're okay with it?
I didn't love it.
Would you do it again?
Nope.
You're in LA right now. You live in New York.
Yeah.
You meet a girl tonight.
Sure.
She's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
She's not only
she's
hot.
She's a 6 out of 10.
Can we talk about, honestly, like the, like, I just was like, no, I wouldn't do it again. And then the second that you like floated a hypothetical, I was like, I could be open to it. Sure. I like love.
Who's your friend? Introduce me.
Yeah. Do you know somebody?
This girl is 10 out of 10. Never had milk in her life.
Yeah. Bitch is lactose intolerant.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. From head to toe.
Gassy as fuck. yeah, I mean, I guess there's always exceptions, right? But like in my experience from having done it, I don't miss it and I would not rush to do it again.
Right. It's almost like it's not even worth coming up with rules because it's like, yeah, but then there's somebody that could break all the rules anyway.
Of course. It's like everyone knows somebody that was in a long distance relationship that they just loved the person that much that it made sense and then it worked.
Right.
And I guess like, so
there's that.
There's that.
So why close the door to that?
I think it depends on whether there's a chance that you will be in the same place.
Right.
I think if you're just like both indefinitely in different places, then that's, you know, something's got to give there. You got to figure out. But if it's like temporary or like there's a chance that one person could move.
Like a malleable job.
Yeah, exactly. But if both people have like jobs they're passionate about on opposite coasts, then.
Even I've heard that happen. And then like eventually one of them leaves the job.
Yeah, I'm a piece of shit. I don't know. Yep. It's I mean, I guess
well, there's examples of every relationship working out and not working out.
Right.
It's just sort of like do you want to put yourself through that?
I guess, yeah, like a strong enough love like conquers any obstacles. And I guess I just haven't experienced a love that strong. So like the obstacles have won every time. Like I'm like, well, no, I mean, I guess in my experience, no, the obstacles are it's too much. But it's like in other people's experience, I guess it's not.
That was a very good fortune cookie that you gave out in the middle of that speech. What was it about the love and the obstacles? Say it one more time. I want to see it in my mind's eye, ideally in a poster under two people walking along a beach. The love and the obstacles.
Right.
Can you say it again?
You haven't given him a chance to talk. You've been one run-on sentence this entire time. Can you say it again? One
right
more
now,
time to think about the obstacles.
Point,
I want to picture it in a poster.
Here we
will
go.
You say it now? 3, 2, 1, 0. Now you're going to say
and,
it.
And
all right, we don't have to hear it. I'm recording it. We can listen to it again.
You know
we'll
what?
Rewind.
Somewhere out there, Eduardo
Scrub
wants
back.
Advice. And you're facetious.
Wow. That was a long one. It's almost time for the break.
Wow.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back with more, Dan.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I
bark
was high.
Box. Yeah, bark
yeah,
box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness?
It's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't. But so it's fitness,
fitnessnah.com.
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
And we're back. Why are you in LA?
No reason at all. I'm just seeing friends and hanging out.
Then get out of here.
Have a weekend. Oh, all right.
You need a reason, a purpose.
Yeah, I'll see you guys later.
Is the job at John Oliver as stressful as it sounds? What with you having to create a news show that takes something down in an epic way every 6 days?
It's pretty intense. I mean, I love it. It's a lot of fun, but it is, it's strange because you're kind of like half of your job is writing a research paper and the other half is making it funny. So the half of that's writing the research paper is sometimes intense. The best, sometimes we've come to describe it as like, or at least I have, as that anxiety dream where you... have a final paper due in a class that you haven't taken, but it's like that, but it's real.
Oh man! And you're naked for some reason, right?
And I'm naked. Yeah, I go to work naked. But yeah, the worst part is at the end when you finish the script and all your teeth fall out. Fall down a bottomless pit.
They're all chickless.
It can be intense, but it's very like, you know, it's run in a professional way. Everyone's like,
how many writers?
Like?
Oh, sorry,
there are nine writers.
Okay.
And do you guys like all work on something together? Do you splinter off? Do you have a writing partner? Are you solo?
It's a mix. There's a research staff, and basically, so when you're working on the big pieces, the research staff prepares like all sorts of information and transcripts, and then you go through and you're
like, I could do something with this.
Yeah, basically, they'll send over like 200 pages of information and transcripts, and then it's on you to like figure out what in that 200 pages you can, you know, form into a 15-minute piece. And another writer also does their own version of that big story.
Oh, wow.
And then you have a meeting where they basically tell you what their favorite parts of both of your drafts were. And then you and that other writer combine their favorite aspects of the draft into one draft and then fill in the blanks. And then later on in the process, when there's like inevitably stuff that, you know, jokes that need to be thought out or in a different way, that's like the whole staff gets together and brainstorms jokes that can go. And it's usually for those like the pieces of information that are really dark or like don't seem like they could possibly have anything funny about them, we'll usually meet as a group and try to pitch lots of jokes.
Yeah,
you know, to figure out. Wow.
So, and what about like the things that you decide to take down? Is there a meeting for that with the writers too, or do you guys get like an assignment to say like, hey, this week we want to do something on this?
The topic he's talking
about. Oh yeah, sorry.
Oh, those can come from anywhere. Research can pitch them. The writers can pitch them.
Research? What do they know about
fucking
shit?
Nerds?
Give me the story, nerd.
Get out of here.
You're a nerd. You're a writer with a podcast.
So are you, asshole.
Don't call me a podcaster.
I'll smack you in the eye.
Are the researchers funny, or are they just like fuck?
They have journalism backgrounds, but they're like funny, smart people, yeah.
Did they go to Northwestern?
All of them went to Northwestern.
Right? Wow. Yeah.
We all had to. There was a period before the show started where we all had to go to Northwestern.
Yeah.
If you hadn't gotten to Northwestern, they sent us to Northwestern.
You had to apply and at least get into Northwestern.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, whether or not you actually went there. Yeah,
and you had to join one extracurricular.
Wow, did you do crew? Ultimate.
Yeah, did they row crew? They all did crew?
Yeah, we all rowed on the same boat, Northwestern, and that was how we bonded before the job started. It was us versus the Winklevoss twins.
You were skanking at the top of the boat, right?
Yeah.
One last question.
Mm-hmm.
The format of the show, for people who haven't seen, is it's a half hour long, right?
Yeah.
But this main story takes up over half the episode.
Yeah, it's usually like...
Was that a decision, conscious decision from the get-go, or like they started getting bigger and fatter and then you guys realized this is what the people want, and like how much did YouTube audience inform that? Like, yeah. Oh, this is clearly the viral thing. This is what people want. Let's get that bigger and bigger and fatter.
I think they were always looking forward to doing these like longer stories.
Yeah.
But it was a surprise to us even that like how long we could go and how people would respond positively to that.
Yeah.
So like in the first, I remember like the second episode, we did this like 12-minute piece on the death penalty. And at the time we'd been talking about doing the death penalty as a, like, wow, that would be, like, a crazy ballsy thing to do, like, later in the season.
Right.
And then this thing happened where this guy's execution was, like, really badly, you know, botched, and he, like, didn't die for a while.
I remember that. Was funny.
It was hilarious. And so they were like, you know what, let's just do it this week on the second episode.
Wow.
And we did this, like, 12-minute piece on the death penalty, which at the time, we were like, first of all, that's insane doing a long comedy piece on the death penalty. Second of all, 12 minutes.
Yeah, that's so fucking huge.
And then everyone just like really responded to both halves of that, where they were like, wow, it's so cool to see a comedy piece about such a serious topic. And wow, it's so cool to see it in depth. And then I think there was just this switch that everyone was just like, wow, we can just like...
So did that change the rest of the season?
I think we just went harder in that direction than we maybe otherwise... I think we would have gotten there, but we got there faster because of that. And like,
I mean, I would watch a full half hour of just that stuff.
I think that's the thing is that like to us, we were like, wow, I can't even imagine like people like paying attention to one topic for this long, how incredibly boring and dark. And then like people just were like, I love that.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, okay. Yeah. Then let's just do that.
You know what it is? It's you're kind of like putting sweet stuff around medicine. So it's like, here's a bunch of jokes and you guys don't know it, but you're actually learning about something important. It's like you're feeding, it's like, isn't that how you give dogs medicine? You wrap it in dog food.
That's how they should teach classes in school.
Yeah, like I learned more from John Oliver's show Last Week Tonight than I would from the news, because it's one, you guys are covering stuff that the news wouldn't cover, but two, you're covering it in a way that makes me want to digest it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of like worldview stuff. It's not just like The Daily Show. I mean, The Daily Show is also great, but that seems to be like a very political, like things happening right here in the country.
Right.
And John Oliver is just like huge worldly topics.
International
topics.
Yeah, it's cool for that reason. And it's, it's fun from on the inside to learn about all that stuff. And because you also have to learn, like we have to learn it fairly well before we can explain it to others, just like anything.
Right.
You know, and so it's like you become this weird expert in a random topic. And just become a weird, like, not an unpleasant
that must be really
party.
Good on dates, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. Hey, so, babe, you wouldn't believe the function that municipal fines serve in the Alabama court system and how they keep down the minority population.
I actually do care.
That's fucking cool. Do you have Tinder?
At the moment, I have deleted it, but I'm sure I will.
Did your bio say writer at Last Week Tonight?
Yeah, I didn't at first, and then I added it.
Smart move. Did it help?
I don't know. I mean, like, my opinion on this, I actually was very uncomfortable, like, writing my job on, like, an online dating platform. But there's something, like, if you say that you're a comedy writer, but you don't...
Say what your job is.
You don't, like, yeah, if you don't, but you don't imply in any way that you're actually doing it for a living, people just, I think, would completely assume that you're just...
Because 98% of the times, comedy writers are either self-employed or unemployed.
Right.
So freelance comedy writer that submits headlines to the like the wrong email address at the Onion.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't want to brag, and I certainly don't want to like I would hope that that's not like a reason to go on a date with me, but I also like it is like I don't want to come across like I'm just like a failed.
Right. Well, it sort of is it's a reason to go on a date with you, but not in the way that's like, "Oh, this guy has a good job." It's what it shows is like this guy's hardworking and gainfully employed. And it's not like you get handed a job like that.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's like, I think I'm just, yeah, I'm afraid of coming across as like, I think nobody really believes that comedy writing is an actual job. So I think you need to kind of be like, no, but for real though.
Right. Yeah. You have to own it a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's just a matter of like being proud of it and being like, I worked for it. And
yeah,
you know,
I remember that came up once where I was like, oh, should I, I think in a weird, slightly tangential way, somebody was trying to convince me to put a picture of me and Jake in my Tinder stream so that people would know that, like, I did this stuff, that, like, maybe it would trigger something. And I was like, oh, isn't that, like, cheap? Like, oh, she would only like me because I was in videos, that stuff that she would recognize. But then someone's like, yeah, but, like, that's beyond physical attraction. The other thing people are attracted to is, like, how successful you are in your field and what you do for a living. So it's not, like, shallow for a bad reason.
Right. It's no, showing that you, like, worked hard at something.
Yeah, I think that it's, like, I think that the adverse effect of coming across, like, you might just be, like, an unemployed, like, aspiring comedy writer is much worse than the, like, potential cocky effect of sounding like you're bragging about your job.
Right.
I think it's, like, I think it's okay to, like, own the fact that you've worked hard and you're ambitious and you, like, you know...
It's
like,
good to be proud of your job.
Yeah, I think it's
like
good to
your
be proud of that stuff. Yeah, so...
And they never actually... Like, I could put that, I feel like, couldn't I? And my writer, I could be like,
yeah,
writer
yeah,
on Last
writer
Week
on
Tonight.
Last Week Tonight.
I could do, like, Last Week Tonight.
I mean,
and
well...
Head writer. You
actually,
should say head writer.
Head writer for Last
oh,
Week
God.
Tonight.
Oh, God.
Head writer
boy.
For the last...
Contributing author.
Why not showrunner? What would you say his name was? Tim? If you change your name...
If I legally change my name to Tim...
No, guys. Oh, God.
Oh, I might make my pictures John Oliver.
Don't do that.
Just like on Tinder, I'll be like swiping or whatever.
But then when you meet the girl, what happens?
I'll say, I duped you.
And it's too late for you now.
And now we're on a date. You have to... Where are you going?
You already agreed to the location and time.
Once a girl's been duped, she doesn't leave. She's usually like, well, I've been duped. I owe you this much.
Yeah. She sits down, she's like, snaps. Dupe me. All right.
Now you
got to drink.
Now you got to scoop me.
Hmm. What does that mean, man?
Let's get to the second question. We're running out of time. We got
second and
sidetrack.
Last question.
All right. Guy's name.
Oh, sorry. Stefan.
Stefan writes, hey guys, I got this problem with my best friend. Me and him both liked the same girl and got into a fight about it. He was in a group of friends and she was with him. And since it was a group, I thought I can come in and hang out. When I got there, I stood behind him and he told me, what the fuck are you doing here? Why are you here? And he pointed to the door and told me to leave. He is probably one of my closest friends because we are the same person practically. He invites me to anything and actually started working out with me. He looks better than me, but me and him are both smoke shows. The only advantage I have is that I am taller than him. We have a very good relationship. Like, we buy things for each other and just hang out every day. I admire him because he got me to start working out and going out. I don't know what to do. Please help me. This girl is like an 8, but we are both friends with her. What would you guys do if you both liked the same girl as your best friend?
Straight up, and I'm embarrassed to say this, I might have spaced out for the first, like, 5 sentences of that. Are they actively fighting over the same girl?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Do they, like, get in a fight, or they just,
no,
they
like
both
this,
realize that they like...
That was the saddest situation ever. This dude came over to a group of people, including the girl that he liked, and his friend was just pushing him and telling him to leave.
Okay, so he was just approaching this girl to talk to her, and his friend said, get the fuck out of there. Like,
she's mine.
She's mine. Is she actually his?
No.
Just, he wants her to be
like her.
Gotcha. Yeah, it seems so like they're just both vying after the same girl. Then he goes on to say how much he likes this guy because they're the same person, but he's slightly taller.
Right.
It sort of turns
so
into like a...
Like the two pieces, like, one, you should, if it's bothering your friend this much, just say, you know, it's not ever really worth it. You just say, okay, yeah, you know what? You go after this girl and I don't need to. But this guy is such an asshole that I'm pretty tempted to say he's not your best friend and you shouldn't admire him.
Yeah, all this this admiration seems misplaced.
It seems like he has a quasi-crush on himself.
Yeah.
He's like, this guy's so great. He's exactly like, well, me, but not as tall. There's no better person than me. I'm the person I want to be. That's why I'm becoming me. Right. And this person accidentally did that.
I'm a strong me.
Yeah. I only befriend lesser versions of me.
The closer you are to me, the more friendships I have with you, because that's how close you became to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's if you start an email that your friend pushed you out of the way and said to stay away from a girl, generally you don't end that email with a long string of compliments about what a wonderful man he is.
Well, two things. One, have you ever seen a girl that you and your friend both have a crush on?
Have you ever wished that you had Jesse's girl?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's tough because, like, for me, if that happens, it's like it's game over, you know?
Yeah, I understand. For sure.
I'm not going to say which direction, but it's definitely game over.
Well, I only hang out with ugly, horrible people, so then I'm always the catch. The option.
Lesser versions of yourself.
Exactly.
I don't know if I've ever, like, really competed over a girl. Maybe, I think I had maybe a crush on the same girl as somebody else, maybe in high school.
Mm.
And I was like, but I was like 15. I don't know if that counts.
Right. Not as an adult.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
If that's happening as an adult, you just gotta, that's not worth it.
What do you do?
Have
you ever had that situation where you and a friend both were like,
yeah, for me, every time it happened, I never, ever lost.
Oh.
So at a certain point, I realized...
you were 12-0.
I was like, you know what? If I'm going to win every single time, then it's not really a good competition. It's Then I'm just sort of an evil man who steals women from people.
You're always the second time... Like, you were always last. You would just steal people's girlfriends.
I did that a lot. And then, like, I mean, I'm not sure how often it was ever, like, two of my friends... It definitely happened. But, like... You know, what are you going to do? I don't want to be an asshole, but I really never, ever, I always got the girl. So it was like, I sort of shifted to, I thought friendship was more important. I didn't want to steal anybody's crush. I think that's also important to nip it in the bud early before you really start to care. Because that's when you like, don't want to give up. If you're at the beginning stage of liking somebody, and you realize it's going to be a conflict, I would always just like peel back first. Be like, oh, I can like somebody else.
So much of it is like happenstance. Like if you're seated next to someone or dancing next to someone and like you just have the first 4-minute conversation, that almost like sends you off on a trajectory where you're with that person.
No, because it also is like when there's competition, it always goes to the person who, well, not always. Never mind. Sorry. It's a totally different thing. Because sometimes you have to try really hard and sometimes you have to try a lot less.
Right. Like sometimes the guy that tries too hard, you start looking like a nice chivalrous guy next to that guy that tries too hard.
It kind of depends what the other guy's doing. You just have to do the opposite.
Oh,
totally. I didn't learn that lesson until I was like in my early 20s. Like I spent like all of high school being like, if I'm the sweetest, most sensitive man, all of the ladies will appreciate my sensitivity.
Who's Dan?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are you talking about? I've never seen that guy.
But that's not to say that it's not like a good trait. Like, but it is like, yeah, you have to like a little bit see what, you know, you don't want to be that one all the time.
There's also like, it has to be mutual. And usually I can only speak for like one lady and two dudes because I've never been on the other side as two ladies versus one dude. But it seems like she just is naturally gravitating towards one of you.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
like at the end of several days, like it's still a toss up.
Well, of course, it's entirely her choice. She gets to choose you, the other guy, or neither.
Mm-hmm.
And but at very least, to save your friendship, you can say I'm out of the running entirely. Like say Dan's a girl and we both like him, right? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And you say, look, Jake, back off. I really like Dan. Then all I can do if I want to stay friends with you, I'm out of the picture. And then say Dan does like me. As long as I'm out of the picture, you can't be mad at me.
But then you can go after Dan.
No, I can't go after Dan because I promised you to preserve our friendship that I will not like Dan, even if he likes me and not you.
But isn't that like a dibs thing, which you don't like? Like, oh, I call dibs on Dan. But yeah. Dan doesn't like me. You can't hook up with Dan because call dibs.
I don't believe in dibs. I think there's a difference between dibs and you telling me as a friend to back off.
Isn't that the same thing? Isn't dibs saying back off?
Well, I think the dibs thing that we do is like if there's a girl at a bar and somebody's like, dibs, I get dibs, I'm going to talk to her first.
Right.
Like that's not cool at all. But if you're like, look, I really like this girl and I don't want you to go after her, I think I could do you the honor. If you're a good man to me, I can say I won't go after her.
Or if you want to, you have a different conversation with me being like, we really actually like each other.
Right.
And then I have to give you the honor back. I have to bestow you the honor.
We all have to treat each other with honor.
Yeah.
Honor is the most important thing.
At the end of the day, I only care about honor.
We're at a bar in our kimonos with our large Japanese swords. And honor is
we honor each other.
It is. Yeah, exactly. Before you guys approach a girl at a bar, you bow to each other. That's the first
true.
Thing.
We do. We show each other mutual respect by bowing.
My
the
blessing.
Same distance.
I honor you. I honor you.
We Eskimo kiss for 10
minutes. I
honor
your family.
And then we go to the woman. We mm-hmm. and we bow.
Yeah.
We get on one knee.
Sure.
I will actually give her a bow, a pork bun.
So I
will bow to Jake, and then I will present to the lady a bow.
There was one time where I was talking to a girl at a bar. I bought her a drink, and I looked at you to give you a thumbs up, and you were on your knees committing.
Yeah, Hari Kari. Yeah. I wanted to show you that I have your ultimate honor in my mind.
That's friendship.
You are honor, and I am shame.
Yeah. And you sliced in the shape of a heart. You sliced out
my vital organs.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Man, that is incredibly respectful. It's also if you like if a girl sees that two people are like actively vying for her, there's always the danger she's gonna pull like a Jasmine in Aladdin and be like, I am not a prize to be won.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah,
yeah. You gotta watch out for
and then
that.
She just goes home with Raja.
Yeah, starts fucking a tiger.
Starts fucking
so
that tiger.
Hot. I can actually show you guys a picture.
Well, I think
that's
what it is. There's a dance. It's like, dibs is off the table because dibs is just sort of calling somebody like you're at an auction or whatever. But if we're like, if we have a crush on the same person, you say, I like her. And then I let you approach. And then if that doesn't go well, I say, permission. Will you honor me with your permission?
Absolutely not, brother. I appreciate your honor, but I can't reciprocate.
And I think that's, and I guess, you know what? I would do that once. And if you did it to me twice, where I asked if I could approach somebody and you said no,
dishonor
after the last girl had gotten away, I think that you have done me a dishonor and a disservice. And I must diss you.
I want to talk to a girl about how it works on the other side when two girls like a guy.
That's true.
Is there a dibs thing?
I want to also know her viewpoint if you and I both like them and say she likes one of us.
Right.
You know, like, well, sorry, if you like me or if you like Amir, I called you. So
you have to be with me now.
It's me or no one.
I think the closest we have is Dan pretending to be a woman. So if we can just ask you a series of questions and then you can just sort of
keep your box.
See, how do I keep my box?
How do you womanscape?
Oh, sure. Thanks so much for asking.
Have you ever fallen a different question that came out of this? Have you ever had a best friend and then you just realized you didn't like him anymore? Because that happens over time. It's like, oh, this guy's my best friend, but I don't really like him. It's like, oh, that's because you guys grew up and now you're different people.
Right. I guess not not as like an adult, but definitely in high school, I had some friends from like childhood that around age like 17, it became pretty clear we were on different paths.
Right.
But never in a way that it like... Actually, you know what? There was one kid. I was younger, though, but there was a kid that I like hung out with between the ages of maybe like 8 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think when we were 14, we got in like an actual fight, like a physical fight in my house that involved like us, like one of us hitting the other one with a tennis racket.
Holy
and, like,
shit.
We were like angry at each other. And I don't even remember what or why, but it like, yeah, we just, we went down different paths.
One of you hit the other with a tennis racket?
I believe so, yeah.
You have to remember who was hitting who and who was getting hit, right?
I think we both had a weapon of some sort. And I think mine was the tennis racket, but I think he had something else.
He had a baseball bat.
And one of us was hitting the other with the tennis racket, like Dan beating him to death with the Wimbledon pro staff.
A pro Kennex. You actually ended up...
Advantage me!
This is on clay. Can you believe it? Interior, Roland Garros night. A prepubescent sweet Dan Gurwitch wailing to death his best friend of 5 years.
I'm Rafa now. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I think we were like teasing each other, and then it like got mean, and we both just started like making fun of each other, and then we got really angry, and then it was just clear that friendship was not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But
so maybe that's what this guy's going through right now.
I think so. I mean, I think also it's like there's a difference between like one time and like a repeated offender. Like if this guy's like, maybe he's just like really loves this girl and like really, like, you know, it's like you gotta allow for that.
Yeah,
but if he's constantly making this other guy feel like shit and feel like he's like less than that's not cool.
Well, let's answer this specific question. What would you do if you both like the same girl, if you and your best friend like the same girl?
It's tough to say without knowing how she feels, because it's not up to it's up to her, you know.
So it's
but
like,
that's not saying to the girl, well, like, I'm sorry, you have to choose him. But it is saying, like, you know, I think you have a conversation with your friend first. You say, if you really like her and you want me to back off, I'll stop flirting with her as much as I have been.
Yeah,
so like I won't pursue it any further.
Yeah,
and then I mean, whatever happens after that is obvious. It's between the girl and that guy, and, you know, back into the world.
Yeah, you'd hope that in any conversation between you and a friend, it would come out that one of you is like really serious about it, and the other one was just kind of like, well, I don't know,
right?
You know, like generally, I can't see it being possible that two people would like fight to the death for like the affections of one woman that they don't know that well,
right?
Like that's like one of them is going to kind of like be like, you know what, I don't care that much,
right?
I think
it's up to the girl, like. This can go one of two ways.
Definitely up with the girl, for sure.
Yeah, but like if the girl was into me and not my friend, I wouldn't be like, all right, fine, you can have her, or you can go after her.
Well, you don't say that, like, you don't give him you don't give him access to her. You all he's asked, all you do is leave. That's it.
But if we have a thing more than they have a thing, I don't think I should leave.
But I thought, aren't we in this like hypothetical? It's like neither one of them knows her that well, right?
Sure.
I think because that's the only way you can judge it.
If
right?
you're like mid relationship with her and you guys are like having a lot of fun and you're flirting with each other a lot, and he's like, no, I have liked her too. Like, then it's different. But we're imagining the very, very beginnings. This girl's
the first night.
This girl's a pretty girl in a group, so you don't like you're not actually invested, or right. You shouldn't be.
You haven't gone on any dates,
right? But it's not saying like you're not saying. You have to choose my friend now. It's just like, you're no longer an option.
Would you ever say to your friend, you got to back down?
No, I would never say that. But I've had people say it to me, and I have that same conversation that Dan's talking about. Like, oh, wait, do you actually care? And if they're like, yes, I really care. I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't care at all. And then sometimes, I don't think it's ever happened in my recent memory. I've never been like, I care a lot.
Right. I guess it also depends on the friend. Like if it's a friend who doesn't really have these feelings a lot, then it's like, oh.
Right. If it was Jeff or Dave saying it, I would be like, fuck off. You don't like them that much.
Right.
But you've never said it to me. So if we both liked a girl and you're like, I really like this girl, I would definitely back
I could
off.
Think of a time that did happen.
And did I back off?
Yeah.
When was it? We can edit this part out. I did do that. Yeah, exactly.
You backed off?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. So it can happen.
Yeah. I think it depends on the dynamic between the two guys.
I was in a situation recently where, yeah, like, I didn't know at the beginning that this girl that I was having kind of, like, felt a connection with, that, like, another one of my friends also did. But just, like, by the end of the day that we were all kind of hanging out, it was pretty clear that I was just hitting it off with her really well.
Right.
So it's, like, I didn't feel the need to, like, have a discussion with him about it. It just sounded like, I don't know, it's going well for, like, us. Like, you
but
know,
what, but did
oh,
he
well
didn't,
for you. Like, I didn't...
He didn't ask you to step back, did he?
No, it was, like, no, it was, but I, like, but I heard through a friend that he was, like, also interested in her.
Oh.
You know?
Actually, you know what, that's happened to me, too, where, like, I didn't necessarily, I, like, kind of thought maybe somebody was interested in somebody, but then I hit it off and then, like, didn't... There was no conversation, and it was sort of like a loaded conversation after the fact to be like, oh, I did actually hooked up with that girl. And
right.
Like, oh, cool. And
yeah, it was, like, is that- yeah. I think it's similar. It's like, yeah, I didn't stop things from going in the direction they were going.
Well, that goes back to honor, because sometimes you'll feel shame, and I'll say, like, hey, I'm sorry, I hit it off with this girl, and the guy that likes her isn't about his honor, he's about his shame. And he's like, I want to hear no more of this.
Shit your pants in front of me. If you really want the honor, I want you to have a scoop of shame with
then,
it.
Then and only then.
Shit your pants and you get the what you want. All right. Cool.
Can this episode be called Honor and Shame?
I think it will. Which one do you want to be? Everyone,
I
want to
get
one.
A tattoo on both of my biceps. This one says honor. This one also says honor.
Shame is written across the shaft of my dick. My calf says honor.
Everything in between these two biceps is shame.
You just put shame on body parts you don't like.
Just two honor biceps and then shame everywhere else. You're so proud of your arms, but the rest of your body is just like, oh no.
I do a lot of curls.
It'd be very funny to have two incredibly strong arms and have a really pathetic weak body everywhere else.
That's Dave Rosenberg.
Really?
Yeah.
I love how quickly you guys were like, we've had this conversation.
We haven't. But
I've gone to the gym with Dave so many times and he only curls.
He only does stuff for his biceps.
He curls and drinks milk.
That's the behavior of someone who's like only seen cartoons about working out.
He just Popeye. Wants to look like Popeye.
Yeah, he's just like, well, I guess that's it. I guess I just do this a lot with my arms.
Have you ever seen Dave at his desk squeezing a can of spinach and nothing happens? Desperately trying for it to be a rainbow into his mouth. All right. Dan, do you have anything to plug before you go? Keep in mind, there will be thousands of people listening to this.
Holy shit.
So this means a lot.
Yeah. Well, in that case.
And we're out of time. Thank you so much.
No, I definitely do not.
Nothing? Twitter? No. Instagram?
I'm sure. You can follow me on Twitter if you want. you're gonna get a moderately amusing tweet once every 3.5 weeks.
The show you
it's
write.
Doing
show.
Fine without our endorsement. HBO's actually advertising
HBO's
it.
President called me today and was like, dude, if you could plug that show on,
HBO sent me a care package based on
really
following that.
Well, that's right, I remember that.
Yeah
you were like a mover shaker in the media world,
a trendsetter. When is the show on, just for it? And you can see it on YouTube as well.
You can see about half of it on YouTube.
Do more people watch it on YouTube than on HBO?
No, not quite. But it's definitely like a bunch more million are added every week.
It is pretty cool. Like, you don't see any other show. I guess you do. Like, Daily Show puts their stuff online. But like, Game of Thrones does not uploading like 20-minute clips of their shows. So like, HBO is kind of doing like a
cool
little
it's pretty
thing.
Awesome. I think they realized that the show would, you know, it wouldn't be like the cultural discussion point that it is if it wasn't. If people couldn't check it out.
Yeah.
But there is one thing that's kind of like, because it's only those like very heavy topics that go on YouTube, I think people sometimes think that that's like the whole show is that heavy, but there's actually a lot of very silly stuff on the show. It's just that it's not usually what's put on YouTube.
That's true.
But yeah.
Cool. Thank you again for coming.
Thanks for having me.
If you have your own questions or theme song submissions or thumbnails or anything, that email again is ifireyoushow@gmail.com. Thanks to Anderson, a.k.a. Pictures of Vernon, for writing the opening theme song. And thanks to Corey Lang, who made a wonderful world parody for the closing theme song. We'll be back next week. Dan, unfortunately, is about to die. But me and Jake will be here. All right, later, guys.
Oh!
Yes, I got a problem. Don't know what to do. So I'll email it. If I were you, and I'll seize that cheese. If I were you, sure.